Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
On this Encore show, Darren and I congratulate those of you who are reading through the Bible with us this year. We are discussing the 13th chapter of Hebrews, which is chock full of valuable and practical spiritual insight. Darren sees Jesus' anointing as divinely remaining the same today as when he walked the earth. We talk about how marriage is to be honored as a godly covenant between a husband and wife, that they live pure relationships. Darren adds that when you allow defilement into your life, you cannot hear the voice of God. We talk about angels and living free from the love of money. God will never leave you or forsake you. Now let's join the program.
Well, praise God you're with us today. We got a great start on the month of August, and I don't know where the rest of the months have gone. I think we were there, but it seems like time just flies by. And I've heard so many people say that as you seem to get older, why time flies, and you know, when you're younger, you just can't seem to get the days to go by quickly enough. Today we're here, and we're going to be in the book of Hebrews.
Love Hebrews. Keep love going Hebrews. Through Hebrews. I know some of you are reading Titus, and you're reading Philemon, and you're going on, but we're kind of stuck here in the very last part of Hebrews. And I just want to say congratulations to those of you, excuse me, I'm still chewing on a cinnamon roll. It is so good.
I brought our engineer a cinnamon roll in honor of his late birthday because we forgot when his birthday was. And Barbara talked
and
him out of a part of it.
He shared. But I just want to congratulate those of you who are listening, who have gone through 2/3 of the Bible. You're more than halfway through. And I just want to say congratulations. And for those of you who is the first time, we'd like to have a note from you saying, I'm reading the Bible through with you, and this is my first time. And tell us when you were born again, but you know how many years it's taken you to actually read through the Word. And don't feel down. I mean, we're the same way. I was born again for so many years, Darren, and I knew parts of the Bible, but never had read through the whole Bible until I got a hold of Marilyn Hickey's Reading the Word Through.
That got you going, didn't it?
It got me going.
You know, I think as people make a habit of that, and you know, we think about this as God's love letter to us. It's a record of his relationship with mankind and how he has bailed us as a human race out so many times, and he plans to continue doing that because he is faithful. And, of course, when we sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. He tells us that in 1 John 1:9. But as we get to know this book of blood, the 13th chapter, and, of course, when I speak of that, I mean the whole book of Hebrews, and we're going to share some unusual things with you today that I believe will make a difference for you. But as you get to know God, as you get to know his word, you get to know God, and he begins to reveal himself to you, and all of a sudden, you start getting revelation knowledge from him, then it gets to be really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been poring over some portions of the Old Testament, and it's coming alive for me. I'm realizing more and more about the story isn't just one little segment of the story, but kind of several chapters before and after. At this one particular remnant. In fact, I like to read about Moses' life and his challenges because I'll tell you, he had a tough assignment.
He did.
But here we are in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13. And, Barb, why don't you kick it off and go for it? I like Hebrews 13:8, of course. I'll just jump ahead and say that. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that means the anointing is same today as it was when he was here in the flesh.
Yes. Well, you know, the writer of Hebrews, Darren, is a person who just loved to fellowship with other believers. And in Hebrews, he's saying, do not forsake the fellowshipping of yourselves together with one another, that is brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus. And he begins the very 13th chapter with, let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. And Darren, your story that most of our listeners know about of you entertaining an angel in Seattle, and you didn't realize it till that angel disappeared from view. I mean, totally disappeared. So some of us have angels coming to us looking like human beings, dressed in suits like human beings, and we can't tell the difference, but they do supernatural things for us.
Well, you know, this angel that talked to me looked like a businessman, mm-hmm. and probably in his 50s, gray hair, handsome, by the way, and he sat down next to me, and he was reading my mail, and I turned away from him. When I turned back, his face was like 10 or 12 inches from mine. He was really getting my attention. And it was so strong that I was about to cry. Oh. And I didn't want to cry out there. I don't know why. I mean, what difference does it make to all those strangers?
That's right.
But, you know, I was having a hard time keeping my composure. And I turned away to get my composure and turn back. He was gone.
He was gone. No scraping of the chair against the sidewalk or anything. He was gone.
Nothing.
Well, you know, some people scoff at that. They say, oh, he didn't see it. The guy was a human being. He actually got up and walked away. He had a slip of memory. He had a moment of no brainer or something. But I'll tell you, Darren, when we believe this scripture.
Are you saying that about the angel or about me?
About you, that you just had a
slip
moment.
Slip of brain.
Yeah,
I've never heard that
term before. You know, your brain just got out of gear there for a couple seconds.
I'll tell you one thing. It did get really shook up because I was outside in a kind of the way they serve coffee sometimes. In fact, they served it up through a window in the side of this building. There was no way anybody could get away from there without me seeing them. I mean, there was no obstructions. There was nothing for them to hide behind or walk behind.
And yet, Darren, there's going to be scoffers. It's just like they said in Luke 16, even though I came down and I would raise somebody from the dead, your brothers probably won't believe this.
You know what you have to say about the scoffers? What they think about me or think of me is none of my business. Right on going. And you know, if some of our listeners would take on, it doesn't mean you have to be arrogant and snobbish and crude and rude and all that stuff. But sometimes our fear of man, we're so concerned even about what strangers think of us.
Yes.
And we spend time thinking about that. Really, I think sometimes we ought to. In fact, I met a guy that, and matter of fact, this guy was kind of a smart aleck, but on the back of his business card he had printed, "What you think of me is absolutely none of my business."
Oh,
and really, bottom line, we have to take that approach sometime, particularly to people that are in mockery.
So those of you who are listening, when you have scoffers or when you have people that are truly enemies, and David talked about his enemies, "Lord, get rid of these people around me who have surrounded me." And there are those people that are really against you, no matter what you try to do, no matter what even good thing you try to do, just remember that phrase, "What you think of me is none of my business," and walk away from them. Sometimes that's the only thing you can do. So here, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. Now, prisoners here, I want to clarify something, Darren. Prisoners, we get letters from prisoners. And they always say, remember what Jesus said about prisoners. You know, treat them well, give them hospitality. There are prisoners, and then there are prisoners. Now, in here, remember the prisoners as though in prison yourself. Now, like, for instance, Paul was in prison when he wrote 4 or 5 of the books that he wrote. He was in prison because of his belief. And here, they are talking about prisoners as those who have been thrown into jail, who have done nothing wrong, nothing morally, or what is the problem is that the religious leaders threw them into prison because they didn't believe exactly like they did. So this idea of prisoners, if you're a prisoner today and you did something wrong, you killed somebody, you stole, you did something wrong that requires you to be punished, then you're serving out your sentence. And this is not what Paul meant in this verse, Darren. It was those prisoners that were in prison because of religious persecution.
And of course, the prisoners that concern me, Barbara, are the people that aren't in prison except in their minds. And I see that in marriages. I see that in finances where people are not free and they need to be free. And then it says here, "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge."
Well, here is a verse where God is saying here through the writer in Hebrews, "Let marriage be held in honor among all." God really believes in marriage, Darren, and from the very beginning when he created Adam, he wanted Adam to be so blessed, and when he discovered that Adam wasn't blessed, even with all the animals around him and with God there on the scene, Adam needed a companion, and God created woman for him. Now here it says marriage is supposed to be held in honor among all, and boy, do we have a society where marriage is really basically trampled on. People don't honor it anymore. They're shacking up. I don't know.
I'll say this, some people don't honor it.
Well,
a lot
that's
of people
true.
Don't.
And so many times you hear a woman, well, I'm just a housewife. And it's got to be the greatest vocation on earth, being a housewife, a mother, and a wife. And it says here, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. That means, and a lot of people have said, Darren, you can just do anything in bed as a married couple, and that's fine. Well, you can't do anything if it hurts one or other of the partners. I mean, there has to be such clear communication here that we know each other so well that we don't do something in our intimacy that hurts the other person.
I think what you're talking about is selfishness. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes... And I think this is more often with the men than with the women that we've counseled and talked to. Some men are very, very selfish. And they want their deal, their satisfaction. You know, if the wife doesn't approve, well, it's just too bad. You know, she's there to serve them. Well, I think when you have a selfish situation like that, both of them obviously end up losing. And we really need to back up and take it and say, you know, the husband ought to be saying, what can I do to be pleasurable or have pleasure for my wife? The wife ought to say the same thing in return and not be selfish. Mm-hmm. And not be selfish. And,
yes.
And not introduce a lot of things to have a higher buzz like pornography videos and all that kind of stuff. And I do feel, really feel sorry for some people that are caught in that trap. And the one said, I want to remain pure here in this marriage. And the other one says, no. You know, we need some more excitement in this marriage. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a buzz here that we've missed someplace. Well, I think that's a part of the modern culture that probably should be eliminated.
That's right. And I really am thankful for the book of Ephesians where it says that wives, obey your husband as unto the Lord, because that little phrase, as unto the Lord, keeps the wife from having to compromise and get into those things that she doesn't believe in. And I really don't believe a husband or a wife should force their mate into something that they don't believe in, that they think's impure. Well, I wonder, Darren, how much, what portion of the population are fornicators and adulterers? It says here, fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Fornicators are those that have sex before marriage, and the adulterers are those that have sex during marriage. So,
you mean outside of the marriage?
Outside of the marriage, yes, not with their mate. And so we see here that God's going to judge both fornicators and adulterers. I wonder how much of our, what portion of our population really has.
Well, you know, we probably never know what their percentage is, but whatever it is, it shouldn't be there.
Boy.
It's too high.
Whoa,
now,
it is.
What we see here, and obviously you can tell this by listening to the shows and by listening to some of our materials, or if you've been in our meetings, you know, we're trying to say to people, listen, you got to live straight. You got to live clean. You got to live pure. Now, it's not just the fact that you're cheating on your husband or your wife, but it's a matter of you not being able to hear the voice of God straight.
Oh, you're right.
I mean, you bring that defilement into yourself, into your heart, and it goes way down deep on the inside of you, and pretty soon your head is messed up. Mm-hmm. And then you can't hear God. And we have so many people say in so many words, I don't hear the voice of God clearly enough, or I don't hear it like I used to hear it, or whatever. And many times when we can get them to be completely honest with themselves, first of all, and then with us, and certainly, hopefully, with God, we'll find out there's some kind of defilement there. There's something going on. There's some compromise. Mm-hmm. Now, some people will say to us, now, well, listen, Darren, Barbara, I've never jumped in bed with anybody. I've never done it. I've never committed the act. Well, let's talk about your heart. What have you done in your heart? What have you done in your imagination? Because Jesus elevated this matter of adultery to a higher plane of understanding in the New Testament. He said, if you have lusted after that person, you have committed adultery in your heart. And Barb, I got to tell you, I was teaching a small class one time, a matter of fact, in a restaurant in a shopping center. And we had about 130 people stuffed in this room. almost put it, took a shoehorn to get them in there. But the anointing was so strong, and I said to them, listen, if you have committed adultery, and here's the explanation of adultery, same one I just gave, if you lusted after somebody in your heart, you committed adultery, and that blocks your ability to hear the voice of God. Now, if that's you, why don't you stand up and let's confess that and pray and get past that? I had about 75% of that group stand up and say, yes, I've lusted after somebody in the church, somebody in the choir, somebody I work with, but Darren, I want to be free. I tell you, God loves that kind of honesty.
Oh,
and when we can say that, we can get out of that prison. And many of you have been one of those prisoners. You know, you've never been to jail, but you're a prisoner right now in your own mind and heart, and God wants to set you free.
Yes, that's right. Now, Darren, we see here in the first four verses and going into the fifth verse what the writer of Hebrews really thinks is important, because usually when you write a book, you, at the very end, you bring it all together in the last two or three pages, and you list those things that are most important, those things that you don't want to forget. And here he's talking about love, he's talking about angels, the importance of angels, he's talking about abuse and mistreatment, ill treatment. He's talking about marriage. That's very important to this writer, whoever this writer is. The next one, he says, let your character be free from the love of money. He doesn't say money, because that would be ludicrous. The writer of this book knows we need money to function, to live on a daily basis. But he says, let your character be free from the love. That means letting the money rule you, letting the money drive you. And here he says, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me?
Well, there's that fear of man thing again.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so often, I'll tell you, people just pay a horrible price because they're so concerned about rejection, or somebody labeling them, or somebody confronting them. And I think we need to really give that to God and say, oh, I just hate confrontation. I mean, I'd do anything to keep from getting into confrontation. Many people pay too much money. They won't negotiate for, you know, for a better price, as an example. They won't ask for a raise. They won't quit this job and go to another job, even though the job they currently have is a rotten job. And it might even be breaking them down physically. It's just too hard to work. Or maybe the conditions around them just total harassment. Well, we need to not fear what man's going to do to us and trust the Lord.
Yes.
Really need, and I'll tell you, so many people that we know, Barb, are living way below their privileges in Jesus.
Mm.
And they are born again, no question. If they got run over with the proverbial Mack truck that we talk about sometimes, they'd go straight to heaven. But on their way to heaven, they're living way below their benefits as a Christian.
Yes.
Way below what God has sent Jesus to the cross to die for. To escape poverty and escape sickness and so on. And some people are just afraid to face it. And that's one of the things that's very, with my personality type, it's hard for me to understand.
Mm.
Why they wouldn't pay, the price is so temporary. Just pay the price. And you get through that. And I know God, for example, God must have a better job for a lot of our friends down the road. And they're afraid to go down and try. They won't even apply.
Yes.
I think that's sad. Really sad.
Well, in this verse 5, when he says, the writer says, and he's quoting from the Old Testament, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. I will never leave you or forsake you, the King James Version says. Also, the Amplified says, I will never leave you. No, 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 no. I mean, it is emphatic. And that's why so many people enjoy the Amplified Bible, including Joyce Meyer. She teaches from there almost exclusively because the adjectives are so declaratory. And here it's true. God will never leave you. He will never desert you. He will never forsake you. And that's why he wants you to trust him, not the banks, not the Dow, the stock market, which is going up and down right now. I think people would be foolish to invest in stocks right now with the market the way it is. And God is saying, I am better than the stock market. I am better than banks. And then what I love about this portion, Darren, in verse 6, is that we're reading this very thing in Psalm 118. And in Psalm 118, it talks about him never leaving you nor forsaking you. And it's Psalm 118, verse 6. And the Lord is for me, I will not fear. What can man do to me? And also in Hebrews 13, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me?
You know, we get up in the morning and we say that as an affirmation. Mm. Read that first part again in the Old Testament.
All right. The Lord is for me. I will not fear. What can man do to me?
We get up in the morning and say that.
Yes.
The Lord is for me. The Lord is for me.
Now, you notice here a little bit difference in the translation from Old Testament to New Testament. The New Testament writer knew the Old Testament scripture, maybe not word for word the way it was written in the Old Testament.
You got the intent.
But that's right. And so many times we see a little bit difference, but the intent is always there. The Bible does not contradict itself, Darren. It is right on. So here in the New Testament in Hebrews 13:6, it says, so we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? Hallelujah.
You know, I believe, Barbara, we get up in the morning and we're having a funk, as some people would say, or we feel like the truck ran over us and we go to the mirror to see if those tire tracks are really on our foreheads.
And sometimes they are.
Sometimes they are, it seems like. But, you know, if we would get up, and it's our assignment to get ourselves up. Our assignment, not just to get out of bed, but to get up mentally and spiritually. And if we'd start speaking the Word of God and say, God is for me. I can handle anything that's going to happen today. Mm-hmm. I can handle that because God is for me and I have favor. And we'll get over and just jump on favor for a little bit. If we start saying, I'm one of God's favorites, I have favor. Thank you, Dave Martin, for that teaching, and Mike Murdoch. I've started using that, and I've seen God. Like yesterday morning, we were crunched for time, which is not unusual. And we needed to go downtown Denver and stop at this bank down there. Well, as you know, parking is really scarce. You can duck in the parking lot and they charge $8 for 20 minutes. I didn't want to do that. So I prayed and God gave us favor and we found a parking meter open right in front of the bank. And by the way, if I'd have been a little braver, there was already 30 minutes on that meter. I wouldn't have had to put any money in it. I mean, God's really providing for us. Now, in my journal last night, I wrote about that item of favor. That's not a little thing. God went ahead of us and provided favor. And so we don't go around and around and around the block, you know, burning up more gas and time, and he provided for us. So I believe we can say with confidence, I will not fear what man can do to me. You know, he's not going to mess up my day. I'm going to be there by the favor of the Lord.
Yes, praise God. Well, those of you who are reading with us today, you're reading Hebrews 13, but you're also... I would love to encourage you to read Psalm 118. If you haven't read the last, getting into the last of the book of Psalms, Psalm 118 verse 1 is one of your favorite verses, Darren, and Psalm 136 goes on and on and on with this verse. Give thanks to the Lord for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. That's another affirmation that's tremendous. And almost the entire chapter of Psalm 136 is that phrase, give thanks to the Lord for he is good, his loving and loving kindness endures forever.
You know, I think we have to make a decision to say those words. And as we do, as we speak the words, and hopefully you'll get that memorized at some point, and as you speak those words and that anointing begins to be released in you. Now, I'm going to say something to shock some of you. But you know, the Bible laying on the coffee table or up behind the back seat of the car, you know, so you know where it is next Sunday. Hello. So you can walk into the church with it. Listen, it's a dead letter until you put breath to it. Once you put breath to it, say, this is a great day. I am blessed of the Lord. I will not fear what man will do unto me. You can paraphrase it, but if you're speaking scripture, your whole day will change. The flavor will change.
That's right.
Things will start working for you instead of against you.
Yes, and you don't have to memorize a whole chapter. And Darren, I've learned that. And last week, for some reason, was such a difficult week for me. And when I saw Psalm 94:19, I grabbed hold of that one verse and I hung on to it. When my anxious thoughts surround me, your comfort and compassion delight my soul, O Lord. And I repeated that verse so many times. And I know some of you, you relate to that because you have told us in your testimony, the verses that God has brought to you at the proper time, at the nick of time, and you've said them, and it's blessed you and delivered you.
You know, Barb, I'd like to say that every one of our listeners is catching on.
Mm,
I know that's not true, but there's a growing number of people. The group is getting larger.
Yes.
People are coming back to us and say, you guys have taught us the word. You've taught us how to make it work in our lives. We thank you. And what greater thing could you be thanked for?
Yeah, how to be excited about the word.
I'm leading my family to Jesus. When I get sick, I can get healed now.
Yes.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people that don't do that. They sit down and they don't apply the healing anointing out of Scripture, they stay sick, or they don't trust God on the finances, and they stay broke because they're over-embracing fear.
Yes. Now, yesterday I was carrying many, many boxes, heavy boxes of books out of a house, and I spent 4 or 5 hours doing this, just clearing out the living room of this house, and I was thinking, you know, before my back would probably need an adjustment, and I just kept saying Romans 8:11 over and over again. If that same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in me, he will make alive and quicken my mortal body. And thank you, Father, for keeping my back healthy. I woke up this morning and just not even a twinge. And I'm saying, Father God, your word really does work. When we apply it, it really does work.
You know, I pulled a real late shift at the office here. I say a shift, but I had some things I had to get done. And I realized that I was going to have to work until about 1 in the morning if I was going to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
My heart started hurting. And I thought, now, what am I going to do here? I know I had heart surgery a year and a half ago, and, you know, I should be taking better care of myself and getting more rest and whatever. But you know what? I put the favor of God right on my heart. And I prayed, thank you, Lord, for strengthening my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a problem. From that moment on, I didn't have a problem the next day. Still don't have problems. And, you know, I could sense in a physical way God was touching my body because of my words.
And why can we say that? Because Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And that's right there in verse 8 of Hebrews 13. If you want to memorize something today, memorize Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. Great verse for you.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at BarbaraCarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in